Amen. The part of the chapter we're going to focus on is found in Mark chapter number 1, in verse number 1, where the Bible says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." In verse number 4, "John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." And the title of my sermon this morning is Baptism for the Remission of Sins. Baptism for the remission of sins. Now turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10. Now, what is remission? What does that mean? It's not a common word that we would necessarily use today, but the Bible simply teaches us that remission simply means forgiveness, right? It means pardoning, okay? Now, in Acts chapter number 10, it basically explains what that, how you get remission of sins. Because a lot of people will take Mark chapter 1 and say that the way you receive the forgiveness of sins, the way you receive the pardoning of sins, is by getting baptized. Okay? Now, is that true? No. And we're gonna just go ahead and just expose all of that today. But I want to explain first and foremost, how do you get remission of sins? Well, look at Acts chapter number 10, verse 41. The Bible reads here, "Now to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever what?
Believeth
in him shall receive remissions of sins." Now, why is that? Well, simply for the fact that the Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Okay?
Right.
So someone's blood has to be shed in order for someone to receive forgiveness. Yeah. And by the way, that's why the sacrifices were sacrificed in such a brutal way. Right? But obviously that was a picture of a shadow of things to come. That's why the Bible says that it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Right, but still, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So who shed his blood? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay, now look, go with me if you would to Ephesians chapter number 1. Now I think just with that verse alone, we can simply tell that by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will receive the remission of sins.
Amen.
Right, and obviously there's a false doctrine out there that teaches, well, you confess your sins every single day to be saved, to be forgiven. Okay, now, for the Christian, it's true that we have to confess our sins to be forgiven every single day so we can keep a right relationship with the Lord, right? But the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Well, we no longer have to pay that wage.
Yep, right.
Why? Because we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we've already received remission of sins. Now look what Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood." And look what it says, "the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Go to Romans chapter number 4. So we see already that the remission of sins is received, or remission, by the way, is just another word for forgiveness. We receive that through his blood, right? Well, then how do we receive that? By believing on his name. Now, someone would look at that and say, well, then is the Bible contradicting itself when it says in Mark chapter 1, the baptism for the remission of sins? Absolutely not. And here's the thing. There's a song I used to like to listen to. It's a Christian song. And it was, I forgot what the song is. It's about the King James Bible. That's why I liked it. And it said this. It says, if you find something wrong in it, then something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, there's something wrong here. There's a contradiction. No, you're a contradiction.
Amen.
Okay? Because God's word is perfect. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. There is no prophecy of the scripture given of any private interpretation. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Bible tells us, okay? And the words of the Lord are pure words. There is no mistake within the Bible. So this isn't a contradiction. So if you see something that might even hint towards being a contradiction, well, you need to study a little more, rightly divide the word of truth to find out what it really means, okay? Now, look at Romans chapter 4, verse number 5 says, "But to him that worketh not." I'm so glad God put that in there. Amen? "But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven," that's past, "whose sins are covered," present, "blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin," future. So what happens when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, according to the Bible, you receive remission of sins. Well, what sins? Past, present, future.
Amen.
Okay? Now here's the thing. You know, those who believe you can lose your salvation, they're not reading these verses. Or they're reading and they're just glazing over them. Because the Bible, and look, if you don't believe that, then you're calling God a liar. Right? Because he said, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, the Bible says. Okay? Now go with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 19. And by the way, I love Mark chapter number 1.
Amen.
John the Baptist is the man.
Yep.
Okay? But here's the thing. What is John's baptism? Because there's a false doctrine out there that's called baptism regeneration. And I don't care if you think, well, you know, you're not giving the definition that what I think it is. Baptism regeneration means you believe you can get saved by getting baptized.
Amen.
Now look, look, check this out. I get baptized every day, if that's what it is. Because I take showers every day. Okay? My entire body. I take showers, right? You take showers every day, right? I'm pretty, well, don't tell me if you don't take a shower every day. But everyone takes showers every single day. Okay? And here's the problem with this baptism of regeneration. You know, those who believe this believe you can lose your salvation. So how many times do you have to get baptized? Right? Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not.
Yep.
There's none righteous, no, not one, as it is written.
Yeah.
Right? So if that's the case, that means the thought of foolishness is sin. So when you think a stupid thought, you've already sinned and you lost your salvation. I guess you got to carry a baptism trough everywhere you go. You see, but God's already covered that.
Amen.
Okay? Now, look at Acts chapter 19. What is John's baptism? And this is why it's important that when we study Scripture, when we see one verse, we compare it with other portions of Scripture. Look what Acts chapter 19, verse number 1 says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now let's pause there for a second. So what's going on here? These people obviously are claiming that they believed, right? And Paul says, well, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And their response is this, we didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. Now, what does that tell us? They weren't even saved. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after ye have believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory.
Amen.
So what's the sequence of events? When you hear the gospel, you believe, and guess what happens? You get saved. And God seals you with his Holy Spirit of promise. That very concept is reiterated in Ephesians chapter 4, where the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8 says, what does it say? That his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God.
Amen.
That's why someone who's truly saved doesn't doubt their salvation.
Amen.
We have the Holy Spirit that bears witness. We have the witness within ourselves, the Bible says. Okay? You're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, the Bible says.
Amen.
Okay? And how's the sequence of events? You hear the gospel, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You believe it, and guess what? You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And why does God seal you with his Holy Spirit? Well, he calls it the earnest of our inheritance. It's like a direct deposit. Okay? Our soul is saved. Obviously, the flesh is not. The Bible says that we're waiting to wit the redemptions of our body, according to Romans chapter number 8. So what does he do? He places his Holy Spirit within us almost as a down payment to give us the security. Hey, I saved you. And one day he's going to purchase the entire thing, which is the body as well. That's when we get glorified. Amen? So that's the sequence of events. So based upon Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, based upon Romans chapter number 8, based upon all the scriptures, we see the sequence of events is that you believe and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Well, based upon that, verse number 2 of chapter 19, these people weren't saved. You will never meet a saved person who says they believe and then they say, well, who's the Holy Ghost? Who's that? Holy Ghost? No, you won't believe that. Because the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Okay? So, that's verse number 2. Verse number 3 says, and he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? So what is Paul saying? So you were baptized, but into what? So this is obviously given the notion that these people were baptized, right? It says this, and they said unto John's baptism. Verse 4, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people. So Mark chapter 1 tells us that he baptized, right, for the remission of sins. But this clarifies what he actually said. That's why it's always good to find out, what did they really say? Right? Well, look what it says. Saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So what was John the Baptist's entire message? You should believe. He said, well, is that a contradiction? Because it says baptized for the remission of sins. For is a preposition that means because. So they got baptized because they received the remission of sins. Well, how do you receive the remission of sins? According to Ephesians chapter 1, through his blood.
Amen.
Well, how do you get that through his blood? Well, according to the other verses we just looked at, by believing on him.
Amen.
So once you believe on him, you receive the remission of sins, you receive the forgiveness of sins, and God says afterwards, get baptized. Okay? I think that's pretty simple to understand. Right? Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them. Just like the sequence we find in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14. Okay? Now, go to Matthew chapter number 3. You say, why are you preaching this? Well, because obviously most of us know this doctrine of baptism and why we should get baptized. But the fact remains that we need to hit on these things very frequently. We need to hit on the things that we think we already know about. Lest anyone should think otherwise, right? But there's a false doctrine out there called baptism regeneration that teaches you, well, you have to get baptized to be saved, okay? Which is false. And we can prove that two ways from Sunday. Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, the Bible says.
Amen.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised them from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
I mean, we can go on and on and on and on and on of the verses that prove salvation is just by believe only. Okay? The entire theme of the scriptures is about believing. Well, it's different in the Old Testament. You know, they got saved by the sacrifices. It is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins.
Amen.
Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness.
Amen.
Okay? And all the other prophets. And by the way, we just read the prophets gave witness.
Yep.
That's found in the Old Testament. Okay? Now, I'm just going to give you some basic points about baptism, just lest anyone should think anything different. Number one, baptism is by immersion.
Amen.
Okay? What does immersion mean? That means completely in, completely out. Now, how many of you have ever been to a funeral? Raise your hand. All right. I'm not trying to be gory here, but look, fact remains, when you bury someone, you don't just bury their head. You bury the entire body.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that would be kind of morbid if you only buried one portion of the body and let the other portion stick out. The Bible says, and the Bible teaches us that you're supposed to bury them. They go in the tomb or they go under the ground. They go in all the way. Well, what does baptism picture? It pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now look what the Bible says in Matthew 3:13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now that's another thing. Jesus is salvation.
Amen.
Why the heck is he getting baptized then? If baptism saves you, why is Jesus being baptized? Oh, he's the exception. Yeah. Exception to your false doctrine. Right? But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus went, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Okay? And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. So what does the Bible teach you? He came up out of the water. Okay? Now, I used to be a Catholic. Okay? How many of you used to be Catholics here? Okay, did you ever get baptized there in the Catholic Church? I did. You know, and what they did is they grab a basin of water and they pour it over your head. Okay, you just, and I got baptized when I was like 12. So usually they do it to babies. I was a late boomer. Okay, I bend my head over and they literally poured the water over my head. That's not straightway out of the water. okay? All they did is wash the gel out of my hair, right? Go to Romans chapter number 6. And by the way, you see the same concept in Luke chapter number 3. So he came out of the water. So here's the concept. Baptism is by immersion. That's why when we baptize, we got a horse trough out there. The people go in, all the way out. Amen. Why? Because when Jesus Christ went all the way in, he came all the way out.
Amen.
Okay? And it's a picture, it's a figure of things to come. And look, let me say this. A lot of false doctrines are based upon the fact that people take the figurative as literal.
Yeah.
Right? They take the figurative aspects of the Old Testament and they like, no, the Jews have to have that land. Right? They take figurative things. Well, you know, the sacrifices. Well, if the sacrifice is saved, why aren't you sacrificing today?
Right. Yeah.
Okay? They're figurative. The Bible says that these are a shadow of things to come.
Right.
These are. And by the way, God loves using illustrations.
Amen.
I mean, a lot of the Old Testament is just purely illustrations.
Amen.
Because they're beautiful pictures of what God will fulfill in the New Testament.
Right.
You know, the Lamb of God who should take away the sins of the world. When Genesis, when the Bible says that God shall provide himself a sacrifice. Does that mean God like literally went down there, tied himself to where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac? And no, that was a picture of what he was going to do in the future.
Right.
Now look what the Bible says. So the first thing is that baptism is by immersion. Secondly, I already mentioned this, but it pictures the resurrection of Christ. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Okay? For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, the Bible says. So according to this verse, when we get baptized, it's picturing what God has done for us spiritually. Okay? Now go to Colossians chapter number 2. Brother David, thank you. And I often use this illustration. I think it's a great illustration. It never gets old for me. You know, if you find something better, then let me know. I'll use it. But my wedding ring, this is a symbol of the fact, this just shows that I'm married to my wife.
Amen.
Okay? My wife has rings on her finger, and it just shows that she's married to me. Now, does that mean that when she takes off her rings to do the dishes at home, she ceases becoming my wife? No. It just means she's probably going to lose them if she's not careful, and they might go down the drain. Okay? But that simply symbolizes our marriage. Okay? That's all it is. It's a symbol. It's not like married, unmarried, you know. No. It's simply symbolic of what actually took place. Now look at Colossians 2, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Now, buried with him by baptism. Someone would take that and say, see, that's why you got to get baptized in order to be saved, right? Because it's literal. Well, okay. You want to take it literal? Okay. Look at verse number 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Why don't you take that literally? Because according to that verse, you need to be circumcised. Yep. Well, you're being inappropriate. I'm just reading the scriptures here.
Amen.
Circumcision is all over the Bible.
Right.
But see, anyone with a brain in their head can see that and say, oh, okay, that's not literally circumcision. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter number 2, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly.
Amen.
You know, and circumcision of that of the flesh made with hands. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart and of the spirit, not of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God.
Amen.
So what is it saying? Circumcision is simply a symbolic. And if you want to take verse 12 literally, then go ahead and take verse 11 literally too. That's why it's important to compare scripture with scripture. It's just the picture of it, okay? Now, go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. All these guys who believe in this are crucifying Christ afresh. You say, why is that? Because if you believe you can lose your salvation, that means you have to keep going and get baptized over and over and over again. Okay? But the Bible says he offered himself once and for all. Okay? Now, what else? What else regarding baptism? So it's by immersion. We understand that. It pictures the resurrection, but also it comes after salvation.
Yep. Yeah, amen.
Okay? Make no mistake about it. Baptism comes after salvation. Look at Acts 16, verse 30. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." This is a common portion of scripture that we'll use today when we go out soul winning. Okay, it's a great verse to use. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Be baptized." Oh, wait. No, it doesn't. Sorry. It says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was what? Baptized, he and all his straightway. But guess what the sequence was? He was baptized after he believed.
Amen.
Okay? And that's very important that we understand the sequence, because sometimes you run into people and they get saved and they're like, "All right, it's time to get baptized." You're like, "Well, I was already baptized before that." No, you just got wet. I'm not trying to be facetious here. But that's just the honest truth.
Amen.
Because according to the scriptures, the sequence of events is that you get baptized after you get saved.
Amen.
Okay? Now go to Acts chapter number 8. These are familiar scriptures, but it's worth reading. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 35. This is when Philip is caught away in the spirit to witness to the Ethiopian eunuch. It says, Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he said, and he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So here's the thing. Even the Ethiopian eunuch said, "What doth hinder me? What's keeping me from being baptized?" And Philip gives him the condition. "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." So what does he mean by that? On the other, if you turn that phrase around, what he means is this. If you don't believe, then you can't do it. That's what's hindering you. Right? So he says, look, if, that's the condition, thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Okay? He was, and by the way, the Ethiopian eunuch was not, this is not like the summertime, and he was just trying to find a reason just to like go get wet. Okay, he preached to him the scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord, hearing by the word of God. He believed and he said, "Okay, now I know." And by the way, he had just come from that revival that was taking place where Philip was. So guess what was taking place over there? People were getting saved and they were getting what? Baptized.
Yep.
So he was a witness of what was taking place over there. He's like, "Man, what do I have to do to get baptized?" He says, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." He said, well, believe in what? Well, according to the Ethiopian eunuch, he says, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God."
Amen.
Okay. Sequence of events is very important. Now, go with me, if you would, to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. Here's my next point. And this is, we're going to spend some time on this one. Baptism, and I've already mentioned this already, but it's we're going to hit on this right now. Baptism does not save you.
Amen.
And when I say save you, I mean it doesn't save you. It doesn't take you to heaven. It doesn't wash away your sins. It doesn't justify you. It doesn't make you perfect. You say, "I already know that. Why would you say that?" Well, the reason I've decided to preach on this message is because there's this lying heretic by the name of Caleb Robertson. Now, you listen to me real close, okay? We're about to get some strong meat right now.
Yeah, amen.
Okay? And if this offends you, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
Amen.
Okay? He said, well, you shouldn't criticize people. Then you haven't read the Bible yet. Okay? And look, we're not criticizing for criticism's sake. Okay? The Bible teaches us that we're supposed to preach sound doctrine, and it teaches us that we ought to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Why? So we can save ourselves and those that hear us from what? From false doctrine.
Amen.
Okay, so the reason we preach these things and we call out the names like Caleb Robertson is to prevent people from being sucked into his false doctrine of baptismal regeneration.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think any saved person will be involved in that.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I don't think you will. Now, I think a saved person can get stumped, right? And then maybe it could cause them to stumble a little bit, but they won't go into that false doctrine.
Yeah.
You say, so why would you preach on it? Because the Bible commands me to preach the whole counsel of God.
Amen.
Okay, all the doctrines.
Yeah.
Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and what? Doctrine. Okay? So this guy, Caleb Robinson, he's a Church of Christ guy. Okay? And let me just go ahead and tell you the story of what took place. Last week, and by the way, tell me your name again.
Mario.
I was going to call you Mike. Mario got baptized last week. All right? He came for the first time. He's like waving to everyone. He's like, hey, everybody. You're the reason for all this, man. Now, Mario got saved, okay, a while back. So what's the sequence of events? He gets baptized.
Yep.
He said, why hadn't he got baptized? Because he didn't have a local church to go to.
Right.
Okay, by the way, it's not like he could just go to the ocean and just baptize himself. You need the authority of the church to do that.
Amen.
Right?
Exactly.
So he had enough sense, because he's read the Bible, and I'm sure he's heard biblical preaching, to know I need to go to a Baptist church to go get baptized by an ordained person.
Amen.
Okay, so he came here and he said, I need to get baptized. We asked him his salvation testimony. He gave a clear presentation of his salvation, and guess what? We baptized him, by the way, in jeans and all. Okay, and in his clothes and everything. Right? He's like, I don't care, I need to do this. All right?
Amen.
So Brother Marcos takes a picture of this guy, takes a picture of me baptizing this guy, and he posted it on Instagram. And shortly, I don't know how long thereafter he posted it, this guy comes on the feed and starts saying, oh, you guys believe, I never met a Baptist who believes that, you know, baptism saves. And Marcus is like, who said that? And he's just like, no, you get saved by trusting in Christ, right? And look, we, as much as people criticize us, we give people the benefit of the doubt. It's like, maybe they're just misled, they don't know any better, whatever. But this guy keeps egging on and egging on and egging on and egging on. And after a while, you start realizing that this guy is not sincere at all.
Yeah.
Okay? In fact, he's trolling. Yeah. The only thing he's missing is the hair, you know, the troll hair. He's trolling the Instagram. So I'm working, and I'm like, I can't look at this right now because I need to finish my job. I need to finish my work. I was like, I'll take a look at it afterwards. I look at it afterwards, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Some of the arguments on this thing was ridiculous. So I hop on there, and I start listening to this guy. And right off the bat, and people criticize us for saying things like this, but it's the honest truth. The guy's reprobate.
Yeah.
And I'm going to prove it to you today. Okay? Because he's like, oh, that's all you say. Every time you guys don't get along with someone, you call him a reprobate. Well, you know, when's the last time you heard a Baptist preacher say that within the last 10 years?
Yeah.
You don't hear it very often.
Right.
So does that mean they don't exist? Right? No, they exist. The only thing is that these Baptist preachers are actually saying something about it.
Amen.
Okay? So I talk to this guy, trying to talk some sense into this guy, and he's not making sense. Why is that? Because he knows not the scriptures, nor whereof he affirms either.
Yeah. Yeah.
He does err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God.
Amen.
And I'm going to prove it. So this guy starts bragging about how he's got Baptists running all over the place. Yeah, we got Baptists running all over the place. He's in Virginia. By the way, Pastor Jason Robinson is in West Virginia. Okay? He ain't running nowhere. He's one of the most doctrinal guys that we know. Godly man preaching hellfire and damnation sermons out there against false doctrine. I don't see Jason Robinson like running away from West Virginia to get away from this guy. Okay? And the reason he says that is because if you go on his Instagram feed, you see all these videos of him like with his camera going up to Baptists and stuff like that and trying to make them look stupid. Now look, shame on the Baptists that would be afraid of such a guy.
Yeah.
Okay? We're not running. And you went on the wrong Instagram feed.
Right.
Okay? Now, I'm going to get back to these notes real quick, but let me just say this. So, this guy makes a video about me on Thursday, exposing Bruce Maha. I'm going to expose Bruce Maha. It's Mejia. But you don't. You, if you want to call me Brother Maha, I'm fine with that. Okay, I don't care. He's like, I'm gonna expose Bruce Maha, and he goes on this huge rant. He puts my feet on there, okay, showing all my things and everything that I've ever said and all these things. And he thinks like he thinks I'm like sitting at home like, oh no, people are gonna see this. They're gonna see me calling him a reprobate. And then he thinks I'm gonna like apologize or something like, well, I didn't really mean that. You know, we're all, God loves everyone. Hell no, I'm not saying that. And look, I got on, I made the video and I said, I didn't take back anything I said.
Right.
I said, and if you're surprised over the words that I said over to you on Instagram, you obviously haven't seen my sermons.
Right.
We're public, buddy.
Amen.
We don't hide things under a bushel.
Yeah. Right.
We scream it from the housetops.
Right.
So, turns out this guy is a liar, and so is his family. Okay, they for years, they just lied about people. They tried to extort people and just try to defame their character. And they've been caught multiple times in their lies. You say, why is that? Well, because if you read Romans chapter 1, the Bible says that they're full of deceit.
Yep. Right.
So they can't help but just spew lies out of their mouth. Yeah. And it's good to deal with a person like that because they kind of like just give themselves away really quick. Because
yeah, right.
If you're, how many of you have ever run into just a chronological liar, a chronic liar?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, they're just constantly lying. They have a hard time keeping up with their lies. Okay, because then they forget what they say, how they said it, where the proof is. And it's just like, look, if you're telling the truth, just there it is. You know?
Yep.
So this guy's a liar. And anytime he's confronted about his lies, this is his go-to question for everyone. Well, where's the Baptist church in the Bible? Where's the verse in the Bible where it says the Baptist church? So I look up this guy, and there's a guy who actually called into his place to confront him about a lie that he told recently regarding some money, a W-2 forms and all these things. And he was caught point blank in this lie. I mean, the guy even posted the video. He exposed himself. It was hilarious, to be honest with you. So, and then this is what this guy says. Well, let me ask you a question. Where's the verse in the Bible about the Baptist church? And the guy says, what are you talking about? I'm confronting you about these lies you're saying, and all you got is like, where's the Baptist church in the Bible? Now, the reason he's asking that, it's because he's from the denomination of the Church of Christ. And he wants to say, well, the Church of Christ is in the Bible. Well, newsflash, buddy, that phrase is not found in the Bible either. It's the church at Corinth, which is in Christ. The churches of Galatia, right? Upon this rock I will build my church. And see, here's the thing. One of his favorite things to say is, where's that exact phrase in the Bible?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry that God didn't, you know, seek your advice on how to write the Bible. He wrote it the way he wants to write it.
Amen.
Okay? So, and that's his favorite. And then he says this. Show me in the Bible where the Bible says believe only. You ever heard of the face plant? Just like. Look at Mark chapter 5. I sent them this verse here. Verse 35 says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. So I sent them this, right? He's like, oh, there you go. That's talking about healing. I caught you. I'm like, caught me in what? He's like, that's about healing. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions, okay? He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we are healed.
Amen.
Now, when you read about the miracles and the healings, the physical healings in the New Testament, the Gospels, what is that picture? Salvation. Okay? So that's reinforcing the fact that you only have to believe. Now, if you want to take this weird interpretation that of what he's saying, then what Isaiah is saying is that by his stripes we're healed. That means anytime they were beating Jesus, you know, all the diseases were just coming out of the people. They were just being healed of all the diseases as he's taking the beating. That's not what it means. It means his chastisement. Healed means basically you got saved. Okay? Why? Because he was delivered for our offenses, the Bible says. Okay? But he's over here, I got you. Well, good, get me, man. I don't take back anything I said.
Amen.
Now, go to Deuteronomy chapter... Actually, let's do this. Go to Acts chapter 22. And look, don't be offended at this. And if you know someone like this who believes in a baptism of regeneration, and let me just make something very clear, okay? We don't believe everyone's a reprobate. There's people who believe this doctrine that are not reprobate. They're deceived. But they're not reprobates. You say, who are the reprobates? The reprobates are the ones teaching this.
Right. Yeah.
Who have the agenda to teach this to damn people to hell.
Right.
These are the people who are wicked. These are the people who are disgusting. And look, he got offended because I called him an ass. He goes, oh, you cussed. And he claims to be a KJV only guy. I told him, I was like, did you know that ass is found 76 times in the Bible? I said, you know what ass means in the Bible? It means donkey. Yeah. You know what a donkey means? It means a beast. You know why I called you an ass? Because in the New Testament, it says the reprobates are beasts.
Yeah, right.
Case closed. By the way, these natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, understanding, speaking evil of the things which they understand not. Let's talk about this guy. We're going to go out soul winning right now after service, go knock on doors, and we're going to, I meet teenagers who readily get saved so easily because the concept of salvation is so easy. Okay? Just believe only. All right? It's not hard to, I can witness to someone using John 3:16. It's as simple as that. Okay? Now, Acts 22, verse 12. Look what the Bible says here. And he got offended because I called him stupid. By the way, stupid means you lack information. You don't have certain knowledge. Right? Like if I tell you, look, the sky is blue, and you're like, no, it's yellow. Well, maybe if you live in downtown LA, right? You say, no, it's some off the wall color. And it's like, no, it's blue. And they're like, no, it's orange. Then I would say, then you're stupid. Because the fact is right there, it's blue. If you can't see that, if you can't admit that, you're stupid. Plain and simple. That's not something that's offensive. That's an actual word, is stupid. Stupid just means, I know people use it just flippantly, but stupid just means you lack knowledge. Okay? Now, Acts 22, verse 12 says, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour, I looked up unto him, upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins. This is one of the first verses that Caleb brought up to me. There you go. Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins. We'll finish the verse. Calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Why? Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Right.
Okay? And how do you wash away your sins? According to the Bible, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Verse 43, or excuse me. So in a prior verse that we read in Acts, it says to him all the prophets, excuse me, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. So Caleb says that baptism is the gospel. He said that in the video that he made about me, which was garbage. It looked like it was from like the 90s. My wife walked in my office as I was watching. She's like, is that from like the 90s? Or it's an old video. I was like, no, he just did that like 3 days ago. Okay. And he says the gospel's baptism. That's what the gospel is. No, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, Let's just play false doctrine for a minute, okay? We're just gonna pretend right now, all right? Let's pretend that baptism is the gospel, okay? I don't believe it is, but let's just go ahead and pretend just for a couple minutes. Is that okay? Just for the illustration's sake. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Let's just say for a second that what Caleb is saying is true. Which I feel sick to my stomach even coming out of my mouth. But let's just pretend, okay? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. This is Paul the Apostle speaking here. It says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. So we see according to those verses, Paul is very passionate about preaching the gospel. He said this, woe is unto me. I mean, that's like, I'm cursed if I don't preach the gospel. And then he says, a necessity is laid upon me that I must preach the gospel. So obviously we can obviously tell that preaching the gospel is very much important to the Apostle Paul. Would anybody deny that in this room? It's true, right?
Yep.
Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Or excuse me, chapter 1. I'll read to you from 1 Corinthians 15, 10 says, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He's talking about preaching the gospel.
Amen.
He was evidently a very staunch preacher of the gospel, of baptism. Because we're still playing this. We're still pretending, guys. We're not done yet. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Look what Paul says. I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius. Hold on a second. If the gospel is baptism, he's like, necessity is laid upon me. He's like, man, I'm thankful I didn't baptize any of you. Except Crispus and Gaius. Look what it says. Lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name. And I baptize also the house of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. So either Paul, I mean, according to this logic, Paul's just a hypocrite. He's like the Baptist preachers that believe in soul winning and they talk about all about soul winning and then they don't do it in soul winning. Right? So he's over here, according to this logic, the gospel's baptism, he's over here, necessity is laid upon me, woe is unto me. And then he's like, man, I didn't baptize any of these guys. I did like two over here. I think I did that one house over there. Other than that, I don't even know if I baptized anybody else. What is he, schizophrenic? He's like, Paul, you just said over there, the woe is unto you. Necessity is laid upon you. Right? Well, let's read on. Shall we? For Christ sent me not to baptize. Didn't he just say in the other verse, a dispensation of the gospel has been committed unto me? So according to, the gospel is baptism, right? But it says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made in effect. So according to verse number 17, he makes a distinction between baptism and the gospel.
Amen.
Sorry, we're not playing pretend anymore. I just killed the whole thing. It's not true. So for him to get up there, baptism is the gospel. Then why would Paul say, I thank God that I baptized none? That's kind of weird. That's kind of wicked. You know, you ran into a Bible-believing, saved person, and they say, man, I'm thankful I don't go soul winning. I'm thankful I don't preach the gospel. I'm so thankful for it. You'd be like, what's wrong with you? Are you so lukewarm and, you just don't love souls, or I mean, that would be weird. Well, here's the thing. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when the Bible says that Paul came knowing nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Yep.
Right? He didn't say Jesus Christ and him crucified in the baptism. In fact, he didn't even really put an emphasis on baptism.
Yeah.
It's foolish. Go to Acts chapter 26. And by the way, we baptize in this church.
Amen.
But Christ sent us not to baptize necessarily, right? We're here to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Portions of that after that, of course, relate to baptism. And we already explained what that means. Acts chapter 26, verse 16 says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by what? Faith that is in me. By the way, a synonym for faith is what?
Believe.
Believe only. Go to Acts chapter 2. So here's some verses that they use, and make sure you write these down if you're not necessarily familiar with them, because you will run into this while you're out soul winning. You won't run into someone as bad as Caleb. He's a special case, okay? He's spiritually special needs is what he is, okay? That's what I mean by that. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart to the top of my head, spiritually, okay? And by the way, make a clip of what I just said.
Amen.
Make a video of what I just said right now.
Amen.
Go ahead. Replay what I just said like for 30 minutes.
Right.
Acts chapter 2. So here's some verses that they use. They like to use Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. It says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So they love Acts chapter 2, verse 38.
Yeah.
Okay. And by the way, Caleb used this up and down like crazy. And he was like making fun of my English and all like my grammar and stuff just because of, what's that called?
Autocorrect.
Okay. That's all you have, by the way, right? But here's the thing. You make fun of my grammar, but yet you get that you have to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. For means because. So the reason you should get baptized is because you've been forgiven of your sins. That's pretty simple, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And it even says there in verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. So the sequence is still there. You say, well, how can you say that gladly receiving his word is because faith cometh by hearing.
Amen.
And hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
When you receive the word of God, that means you got saved. Read the parable of the seed and the sower.
Amen.
Okay. Now go with me if you would to Romans chapter number 5. This is a good example of this, okay? Romans chapter number 5, verse number 12. And look, I don't think anyone can leave here this morning and say, Brother Bruce, he didn't use any scripture. That guy didn't use any Bible. If you say that, you're a liar.
Yeah.
Okay? We got 1, 2, 3, 4 cameras going.
Five.
Oh, man. I didn't even see that one. Okay? I think we've seen enough scriptures, but we're going to look at more.
Amen.
Okay? Look at Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So why did death pass upon all men? Because all men have sinned. Okay? That's how it's using it. All right? Now, go to John chapter 3. This one's really funny, but I like this one. The second example, obviously that first one is easy. Okay? For the remission of sins means because of remission of sins. We don't baptize anybody who does not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
By the way, and the only requirement to be baptized is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have a class here, you know, to teach you about baptism. I've heard of churches that do that.
Yeah.
You know, First Fundamental, who used to be in Monterey Park, they used to have like a 4-week class or something. You know, it's like, dude, you dunk them, they come out, that's it. You know. You have to. I mean, are you talking about the temperature in the water, how deep it is, what kind of water it is? No, just the Ethiopian eunuch didn't even have a class. He just went in and went out. Okay. Now look at John chapter 3, verse 3. Excuse me. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again. Of course, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, a ruler. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, by the way, the latter end of verse 4 is very important to understand what we're about to read right now. Because it's in response to what he said in verse 4. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So these Church of Christ heretics will say, well, see, born of water. That's why you got to get baptized, man. Born of water and of the Spirit. Can we continue reading? Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh. So verse 6 is a parallel passage to what he's saying in verse number 5. He's saying that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, how many of you have been born? It's not a trick question. I don't know if you know this, but when you're in your mother's womb, there's water in there. There's liquid. Okay? My wife just had a baby. Okay? My daughter, Kyla. And we're waiting. I mean, when we went to the hospital, the determining moment, like, when, you know, she's in pain and stuff like that, is like, man, we want that water to break. Because if the water doesn't break, she's not going to be born. You know? She needs, and they always wait. They have to wait. Like the water has, and sometimes they go in and they actually break the water themselves. Sometimes it just happens on its own or whatever. And by the way, that's like the turning point where it says, okay, this baby's gonna come soon. because the water broke, right? Because obviously, if the water's there, the baby can't stay in the womb. Okay, it has to come out. It has to come out. All right. So here he's saying, because he said in verse number 4, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit. So he's saying, look, the way you're born physically is of water, but you have to be born of the Spirit, because you can't go back into your mother's womb and come back out, and that's how you're saved. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Okay? That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Someone once said this, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. What is that saying? If you're born once, physically, but you never get saved, you're going to face the second death.
Yep. Yeah, amen.
But if you're born twice, which is born physically, okay, and you get saved, then you only die once. Okay, physically, and by the way, then we get to resurrect the bodies even after that.
Amen.
Okay? So that was pretty easy. But I felt like it was necessary to mention that. Okay? Now go to Mark chapter 16. This is the coup de grace of baptism regeneration here. Okay. And here's the thing. These guys, they pull up these verses like they're scaring us. Like I'm going to be like, oh no. I'm like dodging, you know. And let me say this. One of the things, when we confront them about certain things, this is his go-to phrase as well. Well, let's debate. Why don't we debate? And let me explain to you, okay, if you don't understand this, let me explain to you why I or anybody in our movement doesn't debate anybody,
mm-hmm.
Okay? It's because I'm not a reprobate.
Exactly.
Come on.
Oh, you just read Romans chapter 1. The Bible says that they're full of debate.
Yep.
See, why would I want to convince a reprobate that he's wrong? The Bible says that he's ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Yeah.
Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth.
Yeah.
Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying, and people think, you're trying to convert him, you're trying to prove, I'm not trying to prove him wrong. But like, he already knows he's wrong. He's a snake.
Yeah.
I'm trying to divert people from listening to him and being misled by his false doctrine.
Amen.
Okay? And every time I confront him about his lies, why don't you debate me? And I told him, I was like, Caleb, I'm not a reprobate, bud. That's why I don't debate you. Because you're ever learning, and you'll never come to the knowledge of the truth.
Right.
That's why. And he said, oh, it's because you're scared. Okay, yeah, it's because I'm scared. Sure. That makes you happy. Now look at Mark 16. This is example number 3 of the verses that people like to use to prove a baptism of regeneration. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, verse 15, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And they'll say, there you go right there. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now he got up in the video. He said the weirdest thing ever. He says, well, of course. And he said this. He says, Baptists always like to harp on that last part of the verse. I like to harp on all the Bible.
Amen.
And he says, they always like to talk. He goes, but obviously we know if you don't want to go to hell, you don't believe. But if you want to be saved, you have to believe and be baptized. Now, here's this logic here. Mark, come on up. Alex, come on up here. Alex, why don't you stand over here? Mark, stand over here. So let's say Mark decides to believe on Jesus Christ. According to that man's logic, and by the way, we believe this as well, he won't go to hell. Amen? But Mark chooses not to be baptized. So according to his logic, he's not saved. So according to his logic, he's not going to hell, but he's not going to heaven either. So let me ask you a question. Where does he go?
Purgatory.
Sorry, Mark. Abraham's bosom.
Yeah.
That's where he went, right? So, yeah. So this guy's screwed. Because he believed, so he's not going to hell, but because he didn't get baptized, he's not saved. So he's somewhere like in the middle. Okay? And you can't make this stuff up. He said this out of his own mouth. Okay? Now, here's the funny thing about this. Let's say Mark, go ahead and step a little over there. Let's say I'm witnessing to Alex And I'm giving them the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to confess that right now? Okay. Well, while you're standing here, you can believe on Christ and be saved. You believe that?
Yeah.
Okay. So I get this guy saved. I walk over here and I'm preaching the gospel to this guy. I said, do you believe on Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Are you willing to confess that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, while you're standing right here, you could be saved.
Amen.
So did I just lie to both of them? I told him the truth, right?
Yeah.
I told him he could be saved while he's standing right there. I told him he could be saved if he's standing right there. You see, the quintessential aspect of the gospel is not where they're standing.
Right, it's good.
It's whether they believe.
Right.
So it doesn't matter if Mark's standing there, here, or there. It doesn't matter. He's going to get saved anyways.
Exactly.
Now, you say, why do you say that? Because they say, well, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, he that believeth and stands right there shall be saved. He that believeth and goes outside shall be saved. It doesn't matter what happens to you physically. If you believe, you shall be saved.
Yep. Right.
But they have this weird misconstrued conception that it all matters where your body is. No, with your body, you have to be baptized. No. It's whether you believe. And that's why I'm so thankful that our King James Bible says this verse, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And by the way, if you think that, you're foolish if you think that those are two separate things. Because the Bible says some save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that it's all inclusive. You won't go to hell, and guess what? You go to heaven.
Amen.
Have a seat, guys. Thanks. I mean, is that weird? I mean, am I... I think that illustrates it pretty perfectly, right? But this guy's like, no, you have to believe and be baptized. Okay, now go to 1 Peter chapter 3. This one right here. This is like their favorite right here, right? Write this down if you don't know these things. Write them down. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 21. Well, let's start in verse number 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Verse 21, the like figure. So what is a like figure? It's like a picture, right? Like means like, it's like that. Okay, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. There you go. We got to get baptized. The Bible says like the like figure. There's these things called parentheses in the English language. And the reason God puts these parentheses is lest you should think something else.
Amen.
Okay, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. And then it says by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I'm not for omitting any verse out of the Bible. But let's just go ahead and ignore that parentheses, okay? Because what those parentheses do is basically what's outside of the first parentheses and outside of the other ones, that's still a continuing thought.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay? So let's read it without the parentheses. The like figure run to even baptism doth also now save us by the what? Resurrection of Jesus Christ.
That's
right.
He said, well, I thought you said the shedding of the blood saves us. Both do. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification.
Amen.
According to Romans chapter number 4. Okay? So the Bible's telling us there, the way we're saved is by the resurrection. Not by being baptized. And look, Noah. Did the water save Noah? No. The ark did. He had to go in the ark through the door. The door was closed, and then he was placed in the water, right?
Yeah.
Was the water like helping him like survive? Like, was he like in the waves, like buoyancy, like just trying to flow? No, he was in the boat. And by the way, Jesus said, I am the what? Door. If any man come through me, right? So the Bible's teaching that, again, it's a picture. Is Jesus saying like he's like a literal door? You know, it's just like... He's saying like there's like a door right here. No, it's a picture. And the reason why God puts so much symbolism and figures in the Bible is to just elaborate salvation. He relates it to bread. He relates it to water. He relates it to opening a door, to receiving a gift. He just hammers that over and over and over. Why? So that people won't get deceived about anything else. Amen. That they would think that anything else can save them. So he puts the cookie on the bottom shelf. That's why the book of John is great.
Amen.
It just illustrates it beautifully. Okay? Lest anyone should think otherwise. Okay, now go to the last verse here. John 3:16.
Amen.
So during the last part of that video that he made, someone asked him, what about John 3:16? Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, let's go there. Let's go to that verse right there. He goes there and he reads it. And he's reading from the King James Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then he has the gall to say, that verse doesn't say believe only. I almost Revelation 3:16 that out of my mouth when I saw that. By the way, if you don't know what that is, that means spew it out of my mouth. My dinner. He said, that verse doesn't say believe only. Now, if I were to tell you, okay, what I'm assuming he's referring to is that the actual verse doesn't have the phrase believe only, right? But what if I were to tell you, Mark or Chad, according to John 3:16, what is the only thing you have to do to not perish and have everlasting life? He said, believe. So yeah, it doesn't say believe only because I didn't write the Bible. Okay? But if I were to phrase it to you and tell you, according to this verse, what is the only thing you have to do to be saved, you would say, believe.
Amen.
And look, if you don't believe me, go soul winning with us. I use this illustration all the time.
Amen.
And it's no coincidence that John 3:16 is one of the most famous verses in the Bible that even unsaved people know.
Yep.
Okay? There's a reason for that. Because it has to do with salvation.
Yep.
And it's very simple to understand that all you have to do... Why isn't Mark 16:16 one of the most famous verses? By the way, I love Mark 16:16. But it's not the most famous verse in the whole world. It's unsaved people are not quoting Mark 6... Well, Caleb is. But unsaved people are not quoting Mark 16:16 all the time. You know who quotes it? Everyone else quotes John 3:16. Why? Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
It's so simple. I'm going to use this verse over and over today when I'm out soul winning.
Amen.
Just because I love John 3:16.
Amen.
Okay? You say, what's the message today? The message is this. Aside from the fact that Caleb is a reprobate, okay? And by the way, let me say this, okay? I hate Caleb Robertson.
Amen.
Oh!
Amen.
Do not I hate them that hate thee, O Lord?
Come on, amen. It's good.
Oh, I hate them with a perfect hatred.
Amen.
How can you say you hate? Because ye that love the Lord hate evil.
Right.
Make a clip out of that. You say, why would you say that? You know why I hate people like Caleb Robertson, false teachers like that? It's because I love people who are being deceived by this. And I don't want people to burn in an eternal hell. And don't look at me like, oh, that's weird that you hate people. You've hated people in the past too.
Right.
Hatred is a very normal thing. Do you love Hitler? The Bible just says we're supposed to hate those who hate the Lord.
Amen.
Well, Caleb, I think Caleb loves the Lord. If he's twisting the Bible, and by the way, the Bible says if you preach any other gospel, let him be accursed.
Amen.
He's accursed.
Yep.
You think God loves the accursed? No. The Bible says that he should be destroyed. So what's the message today? The message is this. Look, we're thankful for baptism. By the way, if someone in here needs to get baptized, let me know. We'll baptize you right away. Okay? And the only prerequisite to that is that you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've done that, you can be baptized. But the message is not just baptism. The message is this. Be careful regarding these false teachers and prophets who are trying to creep in unawares, teaching false gospels and teaching people how to go to hell. Okay? It's only through believing on Jesus Christ. It's not through this false way. And it's no wonder that this is coming out right before the Soul Winning Mega Marathon. These little roaches are just coming out of everywhere. You know? Yeah, exactly. Just step. We don't raid. We don't do raid. We just step on them. And just crush that doctrine.
Amen.
Okay? Amen for the King James Bible. Amen for sound preaching. Amen for believe only. Once saved, always saved. Easy believism. Amen. Whatever you want to call it, that's where we are.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we like to rightly divide the word of truth here. And I believe that you know that. We want to honor you. And the way we honor you is by preaching the whole counsel of God, being bold in our witness. Lord, you said within your word that the righteous are as bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no man pursue it, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And the only reason we have boldness is because of you, because of the authority of your word. We don't come under our own power. We don't come under our own opinions. We come with the authority of God's word. And I pray that, Lord, that you would stop Caleb Robertson. I pray that you would destroy him. Okay, and I pray that those who potentially might listen to him and be deceived by him and caught with that delusion, that they would get away from that, and that a soul winner would be able to come to them and give them the gospel so they can be saved. And I pray that you bless this time now. Bless as we go out and preach the gospel in the city of El Monte. And thank you so much for the souls that have been saved within the last couple of weeks. May you protect us as a church, Lord. Fortify us. Draw us closer to one toward another as we prepare for the Soul Winning Mega Marathon coming up in a couple of weeks. We love you so much and we thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.